You're listening to Workplace Perspective, an employment law podcast presented by Sapphire Legal. Workplace Perspective is a regular podcast series for employers and employees focusing on education, training, and the law to help organizations of all sizes develop and maintain successful workplace relationships. The opinions expressed by guests on Workplace Perspective do not necessarily reflect those of Sapphire Legal or its attorneys and should not be considered legal advice. And now, here's your host, founder and principal attorney at Sapphire Legal, Teresa McQueen.
Thank you, James, and welcome everyone to Workplace Perspective, where we are striving to raise the bar at workplaces everywhere. Today's guest is Orange County immigration attorney Christelle DeMuro. We'll be talking with Christelle about the work visa process, what's happening under the new Biden administration, and how COVID-19 continues to impact the process. Christelle has a lot to share with us. It's going to be a great show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The opinions expressed by guests on Workplace Perspective do not necessarily reflect those of Sapphire Legal or its attorneys and should not be considered legal advice. You're listening to Workplace Perspective, an employment law podcast presented by Sapphire Legal.
Welcome back to our listeners and welcome back to Workplace Perspective, Christelle DeMuro. Yay!
Yes, thank you, Teresa, for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'm so excited to have you back. I love talking about immigration and there's so much to talk about. But before we get started, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, so I am actually an expatriate from France. You can tell from my accent. I've been living in the US for 27 years almost. I became an attorney here, and my law practice is focused on employment, immigration, business immigration. I work a lot with some French companies, investors, and from time to time, I also do family-based green cards through marriage and such. That's the core of my business.
All right. Well, we're about 100 plus days into a new presidential administration that's really struggling to shift existing U.S. policy on immigration and also to immigrate COVID-19 protection protocols. We are not a political podcast, but we're going to talk about this aspect of it because it's really impacting the visa process and getting workers to the U.S. and fulfilling jobs that we have in the U.S. and impacting people's work lives. So let's start first talking a bit broadly about how the restrictions that have been put in place and what the Biden administration is doing and the impact that that's having on immigration to the U.S.
Yes. So, yes, you're right, Teresa. We are facing two different challenges at this time. We are coming out of an administration that closed down really a lot of on immigration, all kind of immigration, legal and illegal, refugees, employment, green cards, all type. So this is the first component of the Biden administration that they are trying to redirect into their own agenda, right? The second major challenge we're having is, of course, with COVID and the restrictions on travel to avoid the spread of the virus and now the new variants put a lot of a big strain on consulates because they had to close down so many times and for extended period of times. There is an enormous backlog. And this is very pretty much in all consulates, embassies in all over the world. So the new administration now, but it could have been, you know, in a political party, has to deal with COVID. The corrections on, or the, let's say, the different directions this new administration is taking now is just more on their aligned with their values and what they're trying to achieve. I guess you want to go into more detail. Let me see. What would you like to talk about, Teresa? Whether it could be the impact on the consular processing for the people stuck abroad or more of the companies here trying to deal with shortage in the workforce, or we can take any direction in the discussion. I'm happy to talk about anything.
I want to talk about all those things. I don't think we're going to have time, but I want to talk about all those things. But so let's start. So let's kind of start with the what the administration is doing now to sort of ease the visa process burden.
Okay.
Or maybe they're not.
There was the rhetoric, correct, during the campaign last year up to the election. And what really the Biden administration wanted to achieve right off the bat. So as you may recall, I pay attention to this, but I realize not everybody does. There was the new immigration bill that was put forth to Congress immediately. Of course, this immigration bill has been ready and is being tweaked and rewritten every year or so. But it's been trying to pass in Congress for as long as I think Bush, George W. Bush, and every president since then, except for Donald Trump, never could get that immigration bill passed. So, but Biden, once again, like every president, every mandate, proposed a new immigration bill because the system is really doesn't work very well. It's very broken. It's a lot of patchwork of laws, and it just doesn't serve our purpose here. So Biden talked about, I'm going to try to fix what was done, and he did that. Of course, the bill was not even put to a vote. He took a few measures right away. He opened up to DACA, the deferred action on children arrival. So those people were heavily impacted by the Trump administration. They could not renew their work permit. So that was corrected. Biden also opened up to refugees. This is not the type of law practice, but I have a lot of friends who do that, and that was great news for them. But then for the more regular, or at least the scope of my work with employment and investment-based visas, the great issue was getting those people from abroad to come to the U.S. and work. And we have COVID. So last year, there was a couple of presidential proclamations that Trump passed, and he said, we don't want anyone here. Not only because of COVID, but also because they are taking Americans' job. Okay, so that was a two-pronged ban that he had. With Biden, it's only really the prong is really mostly COVID. He's really worried about that, and rightfully, we don't want people coming here with the variant from the UK or South Africa. But Biden did not ease up on the restrictions for certain type of visa. And in fact, early March, the rules became stricter. There are very limited exceptions to get a work visa, any type of work visa, unless you work in a very specific field. Health, for example, nuclear industry. But the regular type of engineer and architect and our restaurants, I do a lot of those. They don't really have the grounds to be eligible for this visa, and they are waiting. They've been waiting for several months now, and they can either apply for an initial visa or they can even return to their own business. And later I can mention a few anecdotes of people that are heavily impacted by that. But so, I think overall, just to sum up that part of the discussion, Biden, I think, is trying to put an effort to welcome back the president, whether and not based on their religion. You remember the Muslim ban, all of this, mm-hmm. This is over. But the COVID-19 situation renders it's becoming a challenge for the administration to abide by their promises, because they are really limited in what they can do for health reasons.
Yeah, it's amazing how this is just impacts everything. COVID plus politics.
COVID plus, and if we mention, if we discuss your you are aware of law, you are an outstanding employment attorney, Teresa. So let's talk about some employers here. We hear in the news, there's been going for a few weeks now, that they cannot hire US workers because some of them want to avoid being exposed to the virus or the new variants. And also because they are better at home earning unemployment. It's a challenge. And I have a business degree. So I this is one thing I bring to the table with my client, and I try to explain to them, but think about it. If those, your workers, and I'm thinking about my restaurants, you know, that those clients who are all over the country, mm-hmm. if you cannot hire them back because they are earning more with unemployment, which is low, it's notoriously low in the United States. Perhaps it's because they were not paying much to start with. They work on their business model and they have the business plans to follow. But this is not, sometimes we have to really think about basic issues and those considerations. But right now, that is correct. The employers are trying to get their employees back, visas or not, but people are not returning to work. That's, and it's a major challenge for, you know, if the work cannot be done remotely, obviously, I'm not talking about, you know, people like you and me, we are in a field of in an industry, we can work from a home office, right. But it's not true for a lot of people. And those people impacted are not the high earners. And it is true that the government's help is an incentive for them to perhaps wait and see if they can, you know, take classes online and get a better training or find another opportunity. But they are not returning to work, not en masse, you know.
That's a whole nother show. The idea about vaccinations and the workplace and all of the healthy, safe workplace and all of that. But for right now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, some practical advice from Christelle on waiting out the visa backlog. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals, but I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
If you enjoyed today's show, do this. Share us. Like us. Give us a review on your favorite podcast app. It means a lot to us, and it ensures more people tune in and raise the bar at workplaces everywhere.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are talking with Orange County Immigration Attorney Christelle DeMuro about immigration and the lingering impacts of COVID-19 on the visa process. Christelle, before the break, you mentioned remote work, and that got me thinking about the idea that, you know, a lot of people that can do work remotely have to be impacted by the visas. So is that lessening the burden? So are companies saying, okay, fine, we can't get you here, but we can still put you to work, or is it still a burden?
No, this is a great point. And I've had this situation with a few clients, so those the companies. The larger structure, I have a client here in Irvine, Synoptech, tend to hire a lot of software engineers from India, some from Russia. It's a little bit all over in Asia as well. Those structures do not want to commit to put people on payroll. I mean, whether as a salaried employee on W-2 or independent contractor on 1099, for the whole array of reasons. Liability, just difficult to manage, the time difference. It's not logistically, it's not easy to work with someone who's 12 hours ahead. But in the smaller structure, there is a lot more flexibility. And I'll give you a very telling example. I successfully had a petition approved in 3 days with a fast processing with USCIS. That was amazing for a trainee. She's from France. The association is based in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's an educational organization. And they really wanted her, they really want to train her because there is a possibility later on that she may work with the company. And they said, look, even if she cannot change her status, she has another visa and we were switching her to H3. They say, look, if we cannot do this from here, it's okay. Then she goes back to Europe, she goes back to France and we'll work remotely. And we will train her and we'll do as much as we can to train her electronically online using what we do now, Zoom and all of these devices. And later when she can apply and get the visa, she'll come back and we'll have in-person meetings. So thankfully, we didn't have to do that because the petition was approved. It was a £2 packet of paper, Teresa, for a trainee visa. That's what I do. So imagine when there are H-1B, it's about £3 of paper each. It's just USCIS is only accept paper petitions. So it's a little bit of a dinosaur. Wow. That shows you there is some people willing to accommodate the situation. Now, that was for this client. That's my client who was already here. And that changes the whole scenario. If you are in the US, there are many possibilities to switch your status by filing the paperwork here with the Department of Homeland Security, namely the USCIS, the US Immigration and Naturalization Services, Citizenship Services. If you are abroad, it's a lot more difficult. You have to go through the Department of State to apply for a visa, and that's where they are not giving interviews. They are not giving interviews because the consulates are closed, so they only grant emergency interviews. And to get an emergency interviews, not only you need to show you are eligible on the grounds of your particular visa, every visa has a different criteria for eligibility. But second, you need to show that your presence in the U.S. is vital to the operations of the organization.
Wow, that's a high standard.
And it's a very high standard. In fact, the consulates, the Paris consulate was one of the last one to do that. In Rome, in Italy, they were a lot quicker. And in Germany, where I follow, so what's going on, they were on the top of it. But the consulates now have this across the board list of conditions to meet. It's 5 questions, very, very limited in scope, where basically you have to document and show that you need to be present in the US, otherwise it will impact detrimentally the business. And this is just not true for at least for the work I do, that's not the case. You know,
how true could that be for a lot of people? I mean, you'd have to be the CEO of the company. I mean, who's that indispensable, really?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, one of the questions on this list of 5 questions is, can you explain to us why your function, your position cannot be done remotely? And have you looked at all the possibilities? I mean, it goes well beyond the scope of visa application, Teresa. It's extremely difficult. And even in those situations where the visa applicant not only has an interest in the business, so here I'm alluding to my investors' clients, so they have, you know, their own money, their own mm-hmm. business is at stake. But they work in the operations, you know. So I have here. It's a bakery, a pastry shop, and it's very big. They deliver to hotels and restaurants, and I'm talking very big name. They have 15 employees, so it's not a tiny, you know, operations. And the owner is one of the baker. They make specialty French bread. So not a lot of Americans are trained to prepare this kind of bread. So they cannot replace him here. And he's been stuck in France since early February. And we are in May, Teresa. Wow. His chef, the baker, the chef, works about 80 hours a week, 80.
Wow.
Because also the city where they are, I'll try to stay as confidential as I can, but the city where they are located is reopening, like much of the US now. We are very fortunate with the vaccine distribution here. And they are burned out. Completely burned out, and I've bombarded the consulate, that's the one in Paris, with documents. You know, it's not just my arguments, it's there are really documentation on payroll, what is being paid, the contracts coming from hotel, the purchase orders. And I say, this person needs to come back. He's vaccinated, he's and it's they are, you know, we've involved the congresswoman and we're at the senator now.
Wow.
Yep, I'm getting political.
Orange County needs its French bread.
yeah, well, this one is not, he's not here, it's in Nevada, actually. But it can be true anywhere. You know, my it's immigration is federal, so my clients are all over the place. But this is just to give you a very concrete example how someone is impacted. And yeah. Of course, wow. The list is long. I have at least a dozen people. So they're not necessarily clients. They also are friends of mine. They keep me in the loop. They are supposed to arrive here to work on a visa, work visa, to work for an American company or French owned. It doesn't matter. And for the start of school, so to match, you know, beginning of work and beginning of school for the children. And their visa appointment has been canceled and pushed back to 6 months. So all of the appointments in April were canceled and pushed back to October. So wow. To me, of course, I deal a lot with the people and their own concern and about just really some basic, like the house, you made a promise to come and rent a house. This is not going to happen on time. The children at school, a lot of things are happening. But for the employers, can you imagine how to deal with human resources? Because the companies want this talent. They are not seeking somebody else. They're like, they are hiring those people because they know the affiliate in the US and they need to manage a team and whatever. There's a reason to hire that foreign person and not a U.S. worker. Now they have to accommodate working remotely, introducing the team via Zoom. I mean, we've been doing this, so I guess this is not big news. But even for the U.S. employers, it's a lot of compromise. It's a lot of compromise that they need to do to try to keep and retain the best employees they have and work within the law. So, you know, paying them here or paying them in France, I mean, it's fairly complicated. But right now, the situation is that the variants are still going. The president proclamation has not been lifted and interviews are not being scheduled on a regular basis, only emergency ones. And so it's very frustrating. And there is no foreseeable opening of the consulate and of the frontiers, really. There is no predictable way to give advice to the people. It's I have some really, really tense conversation just about every week. I mean, in the end, people understand it's nobody's fault and they lash out a little bit. So yes, I have to manage that the mood of my clients as best as I can. But it's tough for everyone, really.
I'm sure you do a fabulous job of it, Christelle. I could talk about this with you all day, and I wish I could. But our time is up, my friends. We are going to have to end our show for today. I thank you so much for coming on and providing such wonderful information and sharing your thoughts with our guests. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a delight. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
You can learn more about Christelle by visiting www.helpimmigrate.com. That's HelpImmigrate.com. You can also connect with Christelle via LinkedIn, her LinkedIn account, and via our website at sapphirelegal.com/podcast. I want to also thank our listeners, My Radio Angels, James and the Knave at Night, and Workplace Perspectives team extraordinaire, our engineer and producer, Paul Roberts, our associate producer, Melissa DeLacy, with music provided by the very talented Stephen Bersaloni. Thank you all for joining us on Workplace Perspective, and until next time, keep raising the bar.